A shadowy male figure walks down a long straight road towards a hilly horizon. The image grows smaller and is boxed in by the words Caravan Pictures. Snow falls softly over Central Park. Manhattan skyscrapers loom out of the mist. Yellow taxis skid down broad icy avenues, and dark figures, wrapped up against the cold, shuffle along the snowy sidewalks. Touchstone Pictures presents Harrison Ford, Anne Hesch, and David Schwimmer in 6 days, 7 nights. Thick flakes of snow drift onto the heads of people emerging from a subway station. Coming up the steps, a slim, pretty blonde woman in a red coat and black beret is jostled and spills her coffee. She drops the cup in a bin and makes her way over to a newsstand.
Morning. Oh. Thank you. No, thank you. Hello. Hi. I'm across the street. Who? No. There's nothing wrong with the ad layouts. I checked it myself. Marjorie just must have gotten one story again.
Still chatting into her mobile, the woman in the red coat, Robin, follows others into a large marble lobby. A pink logo on the wall reads Dazzle in snazzy pink letters. Robin enters Marjorie's office.
Well, that's because we changed photographers.
You must be kidding. I double-checked everything. What's wrong with the ad layouts?
What's wrong with the ad layouts, Leo? I'll tell you what's wrong. Practically everything. Because they're the wrong ad layouts.
Marjorie, I have no idea.
Now, why am I standing here looking at 30 pages of wrong ad layouts, Leo? I'll tell you why. Because someone... Leo! Didn't do their job.
Okay, the copy on the cover reads, Office Love Affairs. How to get him and your raise.
Good.
Yeah?
Okay, look at me. Here, come in a little closer.
Robin and Marjorie watch models dressed as busty secretary and male boss.
Great. Good, I think we got it.
Carry on. Papaya diet.
Big problem, they're talking about changing the fruit.
What kind of fruit are we talking about?
I don't know, they said kiwi or something.
Oh, I don't like
this.
This
came for you. They're from Frank.
A flower arrangement.
My goodness, he is so sweet. He was in London.
Very exotic and expensive. Can't wait to see you. It's felt like an eternity. How long's he been gone?
2 days.
2 days?
Yes.
Meet me here at 7:30. Ooh, good choice.
The restaurant.
Bring doll.
Doll. He does this kind of thing all the time.
Fairy lights glitter in the trees outside the Gauguin restaurant. Robin and Frank, a young, attractive, dark-haired man, are led to their table.
Hula dolls. Polynesian restaurant. Now, just what are you up to?
It's all part
Thank
of the
you.
Surprise.
Thanks. Surprise?
Uh-huh.
You're not breaking up with me, are you?
No.
Okay. You sure? Because 69% of all relationships break up in restaurants.
We're not breaking up.
Okay.
In fact, I want to increase the romance in our lives.
You do.
Uh-huh. First, close your eyes.
Now?
Close them.
Okay.
All right. Now, remember all the times you've said that we never go anywhere and we're always working and we
right.
never have any fun?
Oh, yeah.
Well, open your eyes and look where I'm taking you.
Oh.
Come on.
She opens her eyes and stares at the glossy pamphlet.
Oh, you're kidding.
You and me in 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks? I can't.
Oh, you can.
I can?
Uh-huh. I cleared it with Marjorie.
You did? Oh, you're a sneak.
Yeah. 6 days and 7 nights on the secluded tropical island paradise of Makatea.
A large plane flies through the clear blue skies towards a lush island. It touches down on a secluded runway, mountains in the distance. Frank and Robin stroll across the airport terminal.
Yeah, we arrived 15 minutes late.
Oh, is that a problem?
No, that's fine. I'll tell you what. Why don't I go find the bags and you get to go find the charter, okay?
I do.
Yeah, I'll see you
All
in
right.
10 minutes.
Okay.
Sweetie.
Oh.
Love you.
Love you.
Robin consults a pamphlet and strolls away, passing a group of musicians playing guitar. Dressed in a stylish smoky mauve-coloured mini-dress with shoestring straps, a matching floppy hat and strappy sandals, Robin saunters through an airport lounge, pushes on designer sunglasses and heads outside. Two men in overalls are tinkering with the engine of a small red and silver plane.
Hi,
Son of a bitch. Miserable piece of rat shit.
One, an attractive older man, catches sight of Robin.
Could you help me? I'm looking for tropical charters.
You going to Makatea?
Yes.
Well, we'll be ready in 20 minutes.
Robin takes in the decrepit-looking engine, leaking oil into a tin can.
But this isn't the plane.
What?
The plane! Where's its mommy?
Oh, Tropical's plane is laid up in Fiji. We're filling in.
You're in luck. I'm your pilot.
I can't go in this. It's broken.
No, it's not broken. It's being maintained. This is my plane.
Uh-huh.
This is a de Havilland Beaver. This is one of the safest, most reliable planes ever built.
Sweetie, there a problem?
Frank comes out.
Yes. He seems to think we're going to go in this old thing.
What?
I think we could find another charter. Don't you?
We'll find one. There's a boat leaves from the port. Takes 3 days.
Honey, Frank.
All right. Sweetie, I'm sure the plane is perfectly safe, and I'm sure the pilot is a trained professional.
He is the pilot.
Well, if you're gone, we'll be 20, 30 minutes. Gotta get some oil.
Oil? He's gonna get some oil now?
Yeah, he helped us luggage.
No, thanks.
No, we're good.
Later, wearing uninflated life jackets, Frank and Robin are sitting in the plane.
All right, everybody tied down? Yeah, listen, are these really necessary?
Only if we crash.
A busty brunette totters up to the plane.
Hi.
Everybody, this is Angelica, our flight service director.
Hello.
Angelica squeezes past Frank.
Thank you. Hi. Sorry.
Hello.
Excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry.
She clambers into the front seat and kisses the pilot.
Hello. Are you guys going to Makatea?
We hope.
Oh, you love it. Are you from these days?
Yes.
I lived there for a while too. It's very fun. Hey, Queen, look what I got. Check it out.
What's that, baby?
It's a bathing suit, silly.
I thought it was an eye patch.
The tiny bikini top covers nothing. The little fixed-wing plane takes off, leaving the main island behind and flying over the blue ocean. Robin gazes out of her window at a tiny island down below. It's edged with white sand and surrounded by glistening turquoise water. Beyond it, a larger island looms up to a craggy peak. The little red plane banks steeply and starts its descent. On the palm-fringed beach, a wooden jetty connects 5 houses built on stilts in the water. The plane comes into land on a grassy runway. A few people stand watching as it safely touches down. The pilot looks over his shoulder at Robin and Frank.
Welcome to Makatea!
Here we are. Thanks for flying Harris Freight. Frequent flyers earn bonus points. Good for valuable merchandise. Hey, you're not trying to steal my vest, are you?
They pull off their unused life jackets and hand them back. A little jeep takes Robin and Frank to their hotel.
Tim, Miss Monroe?
Yes.
Welcome to Hanaiti.
Thank you.
I'm Philippe Sinclair, the general manager.
Hi.
Can we have the reservation for Mr. Martin, please?
A porter shows Frank and Robin into a well-furnished beach house.
Wow.
Glass doors open onto a veranda that leads directly onto the beach.
Okay.
Oh.
All right, we're never leaving.
Yes.
Frank takes Robin in his arms.
I want this to be the most unforgettable vacation of our lives.
They kiss. Evening. They stroll past the open-air dance floor hand in hand.
Having a good time?
Oh, honey, I'm having a great time.
Hey, you know what today is?
What?
It's our anniversary.
We have an anniversary?
Yeah, unofficially.
Oh.
3 years ago today, we first met.
What, today?
Today. You don't remember? We fought over a cab.
Oh, I called you a jerk.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh, great.
Yes.
That you remember.
Sorry.
Yeah, see, but that's okay. It was all part of love's odyssey.
Odyssey?
Mm-hmm. If I asked, would you wear something special for me tonight?
What do you have in mind?
This.
He holds out a ring. Robin's mouth drops open. She looks at Frank uncertainly.
Will you marry me?
Slowly she smiles and draws him to her for a long, passionate kiss. On a small outdoor stage is a band of musicians in flowery shirts. The frontman plays a metal-plated guitar and sings.
The Calypsonians were all gathered together, singing such a mournful tune. I don't know.
Robin, raising one hand and clicking her fingers, leads Frank onto the dance floor. He circles under her arm and pulls her close.
I'll be back in a sec, okay?
Snatching a last kiss, Robin lets him go. Frank blows her a kiss and walks off. Robin grins. The pilot, Quinn Harris, stands near the musicians drinking. He notices Robin. Quinn's in his 50s with cropped graying hair and a handsome, rugged face. He assumes a casual air and sways towards her. Unaware of him, Robin sits down at the bar. Quinn comes up behind her.
I always thought this was a beautiful island, but with you here, it is even more beautiful.
Oh.
How long have you been on Mekatea?
Well, you're kidding, right?
No.
Well, you brought me here. Today? 5 hours ago?
Oh, I'm so... So much has happened since...
He falls off a bar stool.
Wow! There you go.
Slip.
Yeah. So where's your co-pilot?
Oh, she's busy with the tourists.
Well, that sounds like you don't like us.
Oh, no. Never bite the hand that feeds your mouth. Whatever. Besides, you know, they're good for a laugh.
You're a big laugher, are you?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. They come here looking for the magic, expecting to find romance when they can't find it any other place.
Maybe they will.
It's an island, babe. If you don't bring it here, you won't find it here.
Oh, heavy. Pilot and philosopher.
He shrugs.
Let me buy you a drink.
Hey, I'm here with somebody. You remember him? He came in with me.
I meant both of you.
No, you didn't.
He narrows his eyes.
You're from New York, aren't you?
Hey, is everything okay?
Oh, hi. Nice to see you again.
Yeah, you too.
Let me buy you a drink.
Oh, that's very, Oh, but we're leaving. So.
Well, maybe some other time I'll buy you a drink. Okay, bye.
Was he bothering you?
Oh, no.
Was he hitting on you from over there? It looked like he was hitting on you.
Maybe a little.
He was? Do you want me to do something about it?
Like what?
Hey, I don't go to the gym every day just to watch old guys shower. You know, I won't.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Morning. Frank and Robin relax on the beach.
Well done, ocean. Well done, sky.
Well done, Mai Tais.
Well done, silicone. Oh, my.
Hey.
She wraps him with her magazine as he admires a blonde.
Hey, I'm getting a little toasty here.
You want me to put some cream on you, honey?
You do that for me? You cream me up?
Only for you. Where is it?
Excuse me, Miss Monroe? You have a phone call?
I do.
You can take it at the bar.
What? Who would be calling you here?
I have no idea. I'll be right back.
Robin follows the waitress to the beachside bar.
Can I get you Mai Tais, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Hello?
Look, I know you're on vacation, but this is a dire emergency.
Oh, no.
The photo shoot's on, but it's an availability nightmare. Vendela and Evander Holyfield only have a mutual 17-hour window. If we don't get them now, nobody's available for 4 months, and we lose them for the makeover.
Well, there's got to be somebody closer whose life you can screw up.
That's the ironic thing, dear. There's not. Vendela's in Sydney. Evander's in Osaka. I threw Taylor on a plane this morning to Papeete.
Tahiti?
Yes, they're all coming to you. All you have to do is fly back to Tahiti, babysit the shoot, fly back out. 15 hours at the most.
Look, this is complicated. Frank proposed to me last night.
Oh, my God. This is so exciting, sweetie. I'm so happy for you.
Well, I'm glad, but the point is, what kind of message am I sending to Frank if the day after our betrothal I'm leaving him to go on some photo shoot?
Marjorie removes her dark glasses.
An excellent message.
This
this is the perfect opportunity to establish parameters.
Oh, God. I read somewhere that 38.6% of all women are pressured into quitting their jobs in the first year of marriage.
Marjorie, you read that in our magazine and we made it up.
Oh, please, Robin, please. Please, please, Robin, please.
Deal.
Oh, good. Do you have a way back to Tahiti?
Oh, yeah, I can...
Her face falls. In a wooden bungalow, Quinn is having a massage. Angelica pummels him with rubber beaters. Outside, a man points out the bungalow to Robin. She climbs the wooden steps to the door.
Don't move a muscle. Lay down. Stay.
Angelica runs to the door.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I'm looking for Quinny. It's for you.
He sits up.
Hi there. Hi, I'm really sorry to interrupt you. I sort of have an emergency.
Emergency? What's going on?
Well, my boss called me, and she wants me to go to Tahiti tonight.
Oh, well, I'm sort of on my way over here.
Right. Would $500 cut your labor short?
Baby, you want to go to Papiete?
I can't. I have a show tonight. Tuesday is Tumure night.
It's Tumure night. Huh. My hands are tied. That's for later.
You know, I'm stuck. I really, this is really important. You'd be doing me a tremendous favor. How would 700 be?
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great.
I'll meet you at the plane and give me an hour.
Great, thank you. Honey, it's a known fact that 38.6% of all women are pressured into quitting their jobs the first year of marriage.
That was in your magazine. You probably made it up.
Robin, who's packing, turns to look at Frank.
If you had to work, I would understand.
That's because you're not as romantic as I am.
Oh. So come with me.
She sits on his lap.
No.
How come?
Because if I go with you, I'll resent the fact that I'm there. Mm-hmm. If I stay here, I'll miss you, but you'll feel guilty. I like that better.
Come on, it's only for one night. Hubby.
Say that again.
Hubby?
I like that. Say it.
Hubby. Yeah.
They kiss. Later, Robin arrives by jeep at the airstrip. A strong wind whips the palm trees. Quinn meets her.
Ready to go.
Is it safe to fly?
It is with me.
Well, you're that good, huh?
I'm the best you've ever been with.
I'm not sure I trust your equipment.
We may be old, but we're sturdy.
Mm-hmm. What's all this?
Hotel overstocks, local trinkets. I was going to fly them to Tahiti tomorrow. With your job, I got a twofer.
How handy for you.
Robin climbs in. Quinn stows a case and belts it in.
Keep this from flying at you. There we go. You have my money?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
It's all there.
I trust you.
The cloudy sky is suffused with a pinky orange glow as the plane taxis along the bumpy airstrip, turns and starts to build up speed. It lifts into the sky, swaying unsteadily from side to side. The front propeller spins and the plane heads into a bank of dense, dark cloud. Robin puts a cardigan over her strappy sundress.
So what kind of work do you do back there in New York?
I'm an assistant editor for a magazine called Dazzle.
Dazzle?
Yeah.
Never heard of that one.
But you're not exactly the demographic we shoot for.
She hands him a copy.
This is it.
Dazzle. Your derriere. 5 exercises to tame the beast. 10 ways to light his fire.
He hands it back.
For Pete's sake. 10 ways to light his fire. You know how a woman gets a man excited?
How?
She shows up. That's it. We're guys. We're easy. Of course, for that, you can't charge $6 an issue, can you?
Now, does that advice come with a 700, or do I need to pay extra for that?
Down the house.
Thanks.
Lightning flashes in the night sky. Rain pounds the windshield. Quinn peers out anxiously as the little plane judders. A bolt of lightning shoots from the bottom of the cloud to the ocean below. Back at the hotel, tropical rain streams down. Frank is shown to a table near the stage where grass-skirted dancers are performing. A waitress comes to take his order. Frank whispers to her. She smiles and goes. Frank looks round at a table nearby where an older couple are kissing. Frank watches fondly, his eyes wistful. Suddenly, his attention is caught by the neatly turned ankle of one of the dancing girls. He sits taller in his chair as Angelica, dressed in skimpy bra top and briefs decorated with shells, begins a hip-grinding, seductive dance. Frank grins as Angelica sidles forward, beckoning coyly with her finger. She raises her arms above her head, her hips swaying. Frank nods his head in time to the rhythm. The waitress brings his drink. As she blocks his view, Frank cranes round her. In the plane, Robin looks nervously out of the window.
Island Flight Watch Beaver 0318. We are 3,500 on a heading of 110. Looking for a weather update, please, along our route of flight.
Be advised. Southwestern.
Say again?
Quinn frowns at the radio and puts it down. He heads the plane towards dense cloud. Lightning flashes.
I'm sorry. This weather came up quicker than anybody anticipated. We're gonna have to turn back to Makatea. Just not worth the risk.
All right.
Forked lightning flickers as the plane banks steeply round to the right.
Boxed in. Tighten up your seatbelt. It's gonna get bumpy.
You don't mind if I just come sit up here with you?
She joins him in the front.
Get your seatbelt on.
Robin buckles herself in, then reaches round for a small bottle of pills.
What are those?
Describe them for situations of tension. I think this qualifies.
Give me a couple.
You just drunk.
Quinn smiles wryly. Robin watches him, her eyes frightened, and pops another pill. The light aircraft heads on. At the hotel, male dancers circle Angelica. Frank, still shaking his head rhythmically, rips into a segment of pineapple at the same tempo. Angelica dances forward, smiling at him. Frank's transfixed. On board the plane, Robin opens her pill bottle.
What are you taking now?
Xanax. My doctor prescribed them for situations of tension.
Give me those.
Quinn takes them. Robin, spaced out, stares at him wide-eyed. The plane is struck by lightning.
Woo! Hey! That was close, huh?
Quinn checks his instruments.
That was more than close. That hit us. Shit, fry the radios.
Oh, no, that's bad, huh?
Quinn lifts his radio receiver.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Beaver 0318. Unable to maintain altitude. Anybody hear this?
Robin picks up the co-pilot's radio.
Mayday, mayday, mayday.
Attention, Kmart shopper! Snow shovels are on sale for $12.99!
Put that down. I'm unable to maintain altitude. 40 miles south-southeast of Makatea.
Robin croons into the receiver.
How many of those things did you take?
You know, I just don't know.
Look, we're in trouble here. I want you to sit back, be quiet, keep your seatbelt tight, and let me fly this thing.
Robin salutes. At the hotel, Angelica's still dancing. Frank still twitching in time. Quinn peers out of the plane window at the looming mass of a mountain, half concealed by clouds.
There's an island down there. I can see a beach. I'm gonna set us down.
plane plunges sharply down. Quinn pumps a lever. The needle on a homemade metal flap selector moves from cruise closed towards the landing position. The plane heads for the beach. Sheer rock rises up on one side, crashing waves lap the other. The ground rushes up to meet the plane at high speed. The plane bumps along the sand. One wheel strikes a rock and snaps. The plane skids giddily on the remaining wheel and halts, as at the hotel, Angelica circles and poses. Frank joins in the applause. On the beach, the plane lies tilted at a crazy angle. Lightning flickers, rain streams down. The sky clears with the dawn. Gentle waves lap the white sand. Quinn sits beside the wrecked plane, looking at a map. He picks up a bottle of bourbon and takes a slurp. The door of the plane opens and Robin clambers out, blinking in the sunlight. She leans on the frame and looks around, then plummets. She lands flat on her face.
Good morning.
Could you get me a cup of coffee?
Well, sure, I'll get right on it, ma'am.
Oh, God, where are we?
Here.
Where? Where?
Somewhere between Makatea and Tahiti. That's the best I can do for you.
She spots the damaged wheel.
It crumpled the landing gear when we hit.
Well, are you gonna fix it? I mean, can't we reattach it somehow?
Oh, sure. We'll, like, glue it back on. How's that?
Aren't you one of those guys?
He steps closer.
What guys?
Those guys, you know, those guys with skills.
Skills?
Yeah. You send them out into the wilderness with a pocket knife and a Q-tip and they build you a shopping mall. You can't do that?
No. No, I can't do that. But I can do this. Does that help?
Robin looks round at the plane.
I can get us out of here.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
She grabs her mobile phone.
Right? Huh? Phone, huh? I'm gonna get us out of here. Pronto. Come on, phone.
She holds it up, searching for a signal. Later, she sits tapping the phone against her temple and tosses it away. Quinn unloads their belongings from the plane.
So what are we, like, shipwrecked?
How do you want it?
Excuse me?
You want it sugar-coated or right between the eyes?
You pick.
Quinn sits down on a crate.
We've only got one wheel, so we can't take off. Lightning fried the radio and the emergency location transmitter. Air Seal probably try a rescue, but without a beacon to hone in, it's like trying to find a flea on an elephant's ass. The only thing we've got is this flare gun and a single flare.
Is it too late to get it sugar-coated?
That was sugar-coated.
Quinn jumps up.
Well, then what's the bad news?
The bad news is we may be here for a long time. You and me. For a long, 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 long time.
Robin places her hands squarely on her knees.
Well, I want my $700 back.
Quinn bristles.
What?
You heard me. My $700, I want it back. You said you were going to take me to Tahiti. You didn't. Give it back. Come on.
She holds out her hand. Quinn rummages in the pocket of his shorts.
One, two, three.
He rips the fourth note.
I figure I got you halfway.
Halfway? Halfway?
Halfway.
Halfway. Ooh, halfway? Oh, boy, you're good. Whoa! You got me halfway. That's fantastic.
What are you doing? Hey, get away from my plane! God damn it, get out of there!
I'm gonna do something!
Hey, wave that stuff along!
You shut up!
Come on now, get out of there! What do you think you're doing? Leave my stuff alone! Hey, come on!
It's a boat!
It's a life raft.
You can use it to get off the island.
Where are you gonna go? You don't even know where you are. Last thing you want to do is go bouncing around the ocean on an 8-foot blow-up boat.
Don't tell me what I want.
Give it. Hey, don't pull on that. Leave it alone. Hey.
The life raft inflates in the doorway, trapping Robin in the plane. Quinn holds up his hands in despair, then pads down to the water. He walks round to the pilot's side of the plane.
Get me out of here!
Robin's face is pressed against the window.
You gonna stop acting like a lunatic?
At the hotel, Frank is buttering a roll for his breakfast. A waitress walks up.
Mr. Martin? There's a telephone call for Miss Monroe.
Oh, I'll take it. Hello? This is Frank Martin. Who is... Oh, hi, Marjorie, it's Frank. No, she left yesterday. What?
Marie, it's Philippe at Makatea. Quinn flew a lady back to you last night. Can you look if the Diaviland is at the gate? No, I'll wait.
I ran into Tony. He said that Quinny didn't make Tahiti.
Hold on, Angelica, we don't know anything yet. Yes, Marie, right here.
Angelica and Frank wait side by side.
Ah. Bon. Get RC Rescue, Marie. Call me back.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
The life raft's deflated on the sand.
Come on. You want to drink water? You got to haul water. Let's go.
Carrying plastic canisters, Quinn and Robin head along the beach. Quinn looks at Robin and shakes his head.
What are you looking at?
Nothing.
Something.
Nothing.
Oh, don't give me that. You were ogling.
Ogling?
Yeah.
Ogling. Let me ask you something.
What?
When you go into a store to buy something like that, what do you say to the clerk? Give me that outfit so nobody will look at me.
I like people looking. Just not you.
Robin's changed into a skimpy top and tight flowery shorts. She indicates for Quinn to walk on.
Makes you feel any better. You're not my type.
Oh, good. Why?
Why?
Yeah, you know, I'm making conversation. Why?
You talk too much. You're opinionated. You're stubborn, sarcastic, and stuck up. Your ass is too narrow, and your tits are too small.
He marches off. Robin chases after him.
Hey, you want to know why you're not my type?
Nope.
She stops, offended. Angelica and Frank arrive at the airstrip.
Bonjour, nous sommes prêts pour partir.
Bonjour. Parlez-vous de...
I'm American.
Oh, thank God.
Tom Marr, I'll take
Frank,
you out.
Frank, listen, so how do we find them?
Well, we're going to fly over the water and look out the window.
Whoa. That's it? What about the modern technology? Don't you have, like, satellites, lasers?
Mr. Martin,
heat-seeking
just take
kind
a seat.
Of...
Okay. Well, I'm Ricky.
Yeah, great. I'm Frank. Listen, money is no object, all right?
Yeah, just get in.
Try breathing very deeply. I found that helpful.
Frank watches her heaving bosom.
If they went into the water, it's only been 12 hours. It's a good chance we'll find them.
Okay.
The pilot, Tom, eyes Ricky, the crewman, as the helicopter takes off. On the island, Quinn and Robin are wading through dense undergrowth. Quinn strides ahead, letting a branch flick back into Robin's face.
Hey, Buona! Why don't you let me leave for a while?
Okay. This'll be interesting.
Robin plunges on into the lush vegetation. Spying something, she quickens her pace. A huge waterfall. Quinn shakes his head. Robin forges forward.
Come on, Quinny!
Quinn trips and falls. Robin doesn't notice.
Oh.
A rainbow forms in the spray of the majestic falls. Quinn struggles to his feet.
Oh, it's beautiful.
A wild pig trots out of the undergrowth. Robin steps back into the water.
Oh,
hey!
a pig. What are you worried about? He's more afraid of us than we... Watch! Watch! Ha! Gone! 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 Get out of here! Ha!
Ha! In the water, Robin tenses.
Come on!
Hey, Gwen!
Huh? What? What?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, I'm having a bit of a problem.
What's the problem?
Some sort of creature has just swum up my pants.
Quinn sneers, disbelieving.
I'm guessing a snake.
Oh.
Quinn shakes his head.
That's bad.
So, what do I do? I mean, I could reach down and grab it.
No, that could be risky. Might be poisonous.
Well, right. But on the other hand, if it's poisonous and will bite me, do I want to allow it to continue to swim around in my shorts?
All good questions.
Would you just give me some advice, all right? Just advice, input, anything, give it to me. I'm very open at this particular juncture, all right?
Just stand still.
Still.
Stand still.
What are you doing?
Relax.
All right.
He lifts up her top and peers down her waistband.
Oh, God.
Not good.
What?
Shh. I'm trying to concentrate here.
Okay.
All right, let's see.
Quinn puts his hand down the front of her shorts. Robin's eyes widen. Quinn rummages, grimaces wryly, then catches Robin's eye.
Better not catch you smiling.
He reaches in, pulls out a snake, and hurls it away. Robin stares at Quinn, open-mouthed.
Thanks.
Well, not without skills.
Robin smiles uncertainly and wades out of the water. Quinn grins and follows. Later, Robin changes back into her white silk sundress. She's half hidden by palm fronds. In the distance, she spots Quinn and watches him thoughtfully. He's standing with his back to her, cutting palm leaves with a machete. Robin fingers her lips and smiles. Later, the sky is tinged with pink. Robin, wearing a sarong, sits on the sand and rubs in sun cream. Quinn approaches, hidden by palm fronds from head to foot. They form a kind of cape. In his hand, he carries a long spear.
Whoa! You're going on a date?
You like it?
Why the fashion statement?
Going hunting.
Oh, for what?
He indicates two peacocks on the beach.
No, you wouldn't. They are magnificent creatures.
And I hear they taste just like chicken.
Later, a bird is roasting on a spit over a campfire. Quinn pours a pink liquid over it.
On a beach in...
He sucks his fingers as Robin comes over. She hangs around casually by the campfire, breathing in the aroma.
Maybe I should have a taste. You know, just in case somebody asks me someday if you ever had peacock, I can say, yes, I have.
You won't regret it.
He cuts off a peacock leg with his knife and holds it out to her.
Whoa!
Robin tosses it in her fingers and tries to bite off the flesh.
Oh. Oh my God. Wow.
Quinn chomps on the other leg.
Chicken. Okay, chicken. Have you always been a pilot?
All my grown-up life.
Mm. Like doing what?
All kinds of flying.
Mm-hmm.
I had my own very successful business.
What happened?
I found a better way of life, that's all.
Like what?
Came out here, got a nice little house on a beautiful beach.
Mm-hmm.
Got my plane.
He looks at it sadly.
Doing what I want to do. Got peace and quiet. Living the life every man dreams of.
Well, yeah, until they're 12.
Robin catches his eye. He's not laughing.
I'm sorry. That was out of line.
No.
I'm just cranky, you know, from being shipwrecked.
He grins at her. She rolls her eyes, then takes a drink from a hollowed-out watermelon. Quinn shakes a canister of red wine. Later, they stand in the sea.
Look at that sky. You don't see a sky like that in New York City.
No, that's a good sky.
Robin stumbles. He steadies her.
Sorry. I'm just a little tipsy.
Quinn keeps hold of her arm as they head back to the beach. She turns to him.
Good night.
Robin walks towards the plane.
Good night.
Quinn stands watching her, then sits down and grabs his bottle of bourbon from a makeshift table.
Suave. Really suave.
He takes a swig. Stars twinkle in the night sky. Morning. Cloud brushes the top of the craggy mountain. The plane rests on its wingtip on the beach. Surf rolls towards the palm-fringed bay. Quinn lies asleep on a blanket on the sand. Robin pushes open the door of the plane. A jet flies overhead.
Oh my God.
She scrambles out. Cradling his bourbon bottle, he doesn't stir. The flare gun's stuck down the front of his shorts. Robin tries to pull it out, tumbling over him in her enthusiasm. She pulls the flare gun free. As she aims, Quinn stirs, knocking her off balance. The flare hits a tree.
Hey, baby.
In his stupor, Quinn pulls Robin into his arms. She clambers over him and frees herself. He comes too, as Robin looks at the palm tree that's erupted into flames.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
What?
Oh, nuts.
Quinn rolls over and finds the empty flare gun.
I'm...
What?
He looks into the empty barrel.
What the hell did you do? What the... You wasted our only goddamn flare to shoot a goddamn palm tree?
I wouldn't have shot the goddamn tree if Yen rolled into me. I was trying to signal the goddamn plane.
What goddamn plane?
That goddamn plane.
She points. Quinn squints towards the sky.
That goddamn plane?
Yeah.
That's a commercial airliner. It's 5 miles high going 600 miles an hour. They wouldn't see a nuclear explosion if they were looking for it, much less a flare.
How was I supposed to know that? If you hadn't drunken yourself into a coma, maybe you could have told me that.
You know what you've done? You know what you've done? You've taken our one good chance of being found and pissed it away.
Don't you dare blame this on me. If you were half a pilot, we wouldn't be on this island.
I am the best goddamn pilot you're ever going to meet.
Ah! I've flown with you twice. You've crashed half the time.
Quinn considers this.
And there is nothing wrong with my tits.
The search helicopter flies low over the ocean. Crewman Ricky looks out of the window. Tom scans the blue expanse. Frank and Angelica are back. Angelica presses a crystal to her forehead.
There's so much water.
Don't worry. Wherever they are, Woody is going to take good care of your girlfriend.
Frank frowns.
What do you mean by that?
Robin follows Quinn up a dusty mountainside.
Come on, let's pick up the pace a little. I want to get to the top before dark.
Suddenly, the ground beneath their feet starts to tremble and cracks open into deep fissures. Quinn looks around fearfully. The earth gives way under Robin's feet and she drops out of sight. The same thing happens to Quinn and the two hurtle down a muddy tunnel. Small rocks tumble with them. Quinn smashes his head against a tree root. They land on soft earth.
I've had just about as much vacation as I can stand.
Quinn pushes away some stones and emerges from the low tunnel opening. Robin follows him out and dances around, trying to rid herself of the grime.
Stop!
Quinn has spotted a huge scorpion crawling through her short blonde hair.
What?
He makes a grab for it and flings it away. Robin looks shocked, then rounds on Quinn with a quizzical glare. Quinn shuffles his feet awkwardly.
Better find the beacon.
He steps past her and looks around.
This way.
He heads up a steep bank. Robin follows. Up a grassy mountain slope.
That beacon better be up there.
Look, the storm blew us southwest 40 minutes. Good chance this is Tammy Tanger.
Ah, Tammy Tanger. Well, that explains everything.
There's a radio navigation beacon on the top of Tammy Tanger. We find it, we shut it down, they come out and fix it. We're rescued.
It took them 2 years to fix the streetlight outside my apartment.
Quinn and Robin emerge from a densely vegetated ridge onto the earthy plateau at the top of the mountain. Robin skips ahead towards the sheer edge and takes in the sweeping landscape and vast sea views. Quinn joins her, pulls off his rucksack, and looks out over the cliff at the calm sea.
Wow, this is beautiful, huh?
Quinn pulls out and consults a tattered map. Robin turns to him, hands on hips.
So where's the beacon?
Quinn stands a little way from her, trying to get his bearings.
Huh? Oh, well, let me see. Well, it's this one, right? Tammy Tanger, the one with the funny-shaped peninsula to the north, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's north, right? Right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Robin walks to the edge and stares out over the sea.
There's no peninsula.
She whips round.
Who stole the peninsula?
Quinn shakes his head.
Huh. This isn't Tommy Tanga. So there is no beacon that we're going to turn off, and they're going to come and fix it and find us.
Quinn points awkwardly at the map.
Well, we could be, we could be further to the south. This could be Mat Nui.
Mat Nui? And what's on Mat Nui?
Quinn swallows hard.
Us.
Quinn hands Robin the map.
What do I want? What are you doing?
Quinn holds up his hand to silence her and walks wearily into a small oasis of dense vegetation. Quinn is completely obscured. Only the vigorous shaking of the palms gives him away. Quinn emerges calmly from the undergrowth.
Please don't do that again.
I just want one goddamn thing to go right.
Oh, God. I know. Come on. Ever since we've been here, you've been so confident. You have all the answers.
Well, I'm the captain. That's my job. It's no good for me to go waving my arms in the air and screaming, oh, shit, we're gonna die. That doesn't evoke penance, does it?
No, that does not.
She grabs his arm and looks up at him.
I need you to be my confident captain. I can't tell you how difficult this is gonna be for me if you lose it.
She gives him a little shake. He nods and lifts his eyebrows in assent.
Okay. Okay. I'm all right now.
Good.
Robin smiles and follows him down the slope in her dirty white shorts and pink shirt. She catches sight of something and skids to a halt.
Quinn.
What?
She pulls binoculars out of his rucksack.
It's a boat.
Quinn grabs the binoculars and sees a large white boat cruising towards the island.
Except for putting into that car.
cove.
Yeah, well, how do we signal him?
Flare would be nice.
Don't start. Come on, what do we do? How do we get down there?
We go down the mountain, up the mountain, down the mountain. We get to our life raft and hope they'll still be there in the morning. Come on.
Robin ambles excitedly after him. The sun goes down. In the gathering darkness, Robin and Quinn pull the inflated orange dinghy into the water. Quinn stands in the waves holding the boat steady as Robin hauls herself in. As the sun rises, Quinn rows gently across the bobbing waves. Robin's asleep, her head resting against the side. Later, Robin steers the craft whilst Quinn sleeps. The sun is high in the sky as the little boat makes slow progress around the shore. Exhausted, Robin stops rowing and grabs a plastic container full of water. As she puts it to her lips, Quinn wakes up and looks blearily at his watch.
Come on, I'll take over.
While Quinn rows, Robin watches him with lazy curiosity.
So what's the deal with you and,
She mimes big boobs.
Angelica.
Yeah.
No deal, we're friends. She works at the hotel a couple months a year. We have some laughs. Keep it simple.
Well, has it always been simple, or has there ever been anyone complicated?
Quinn stops rowing for a moment.
That's a yes. Yes? How complicated? Scale from 1 to 10.
12.
12? Ah, what happened?
Well, tragically, she died.
Oh my God, I'm so.
No, she didn't die. Oh. Why are you gonna let me tell the story or what?
Sure, tell it.
She fell in love with somebody else. Not just somebody else. My best friend, my partner, the guy I was in the business with.
God, what did you do?
Well, I bowed out. I gave him my blessing.
He presses his lips together.
Are they still together?
No. They broke up. But not before I sold them my half the business.
Uh-huh.
Came out here, got my plane, never looked back. Best thing that ever happened to me.
Robin raises the binoculars.
There are two boats.
What? Two boats?
Two boats! Ah! Yeah, look! God, this is great, huh? Hello?
Through the glasses, Quinn sees a tough guy with a skinhead shoot an unarmed hostage on deck.
No!
Sit down, we gotta get out of here.
Why? What?
We gotta get out of here.
What? Get out of here? Shit. What are you talking about? Oh, my God.
Robin watches the hostage being thrown overboard.
Who are they?
Pirates.
Pirates as an arg?
Smugglers, thieves. They run a boat.
Quinn rows furiously.
Grab boats, they just killed a guy!
Kill us too, just for being here, just for seeing them.
The rogue ship is pulled up alongside the white cruiser. On board, the pirates pass around the champagne. Their captain, the tough-looking skinhead, open khaki shirt, leather wristband and cruel stare, suddenly notices the dinghy bobbing on the distant surf. He grabs a pair of binoculars. In the dinghy, Robin lowers her binoculars in fright.
Saw me.
We got company.
Watches the captain and two long-haired companions jump into a motorized dinghy.
Oh no. They just lowered a boat.
What kind of a boat?
A motorboat.
The pirates speed across the water towards the orange dinghy. The pirates wave machine guns. Quinn exerts himself. The motorboat cuts a white swathe across the blue bay as it gains on the dinghy. The pirates stand with guns at the ready. The captain nods and points ahead. A hail of bullets rain down on the orange dinghy. Robin and Quinn roll overboard and swim for shore. The motorboat steams towards them as they splash onto the beach and haul their soaking bodies out of the water. Rin grabs Robin by the arm and they run up the beach and wade through a pool of water under a large natural arch in the rock. The three pirates hit the beach running and take off over the sand. Quinn and Robin scramble frantically up the rocky mountainside as the pirates wade through the water under the arch. Quinn and Robin stagger wearily onto a high grassy mountain plateau. Robin grabs hold of Quinn. Quinn shakes her.
Yes, you can. How do you get over?
The captain and his men split up. Running along a flat beach covered in dense areas of bush, Quinn grabs Robin by the arm and signals her to take cover.
What? Where?
Robin hides. Quinn lifts up a log, tripping the two long-haired pirates. One crawls for his gun. Quinn kicks him and wrestles for the gun. Robin runs out of the bushes. Quinn punches him out. The other pirate tries to reach his gun. Quinn hits him with a log. Robin lays into the other pirate with a log. Quinn grins at her in approval. The pirate revives and knocks her down. Appearing from the bushes, the captain grabs Robin by the hair. He points a revolver at Quinn.
Let's not make this difficult.
One of the pirates floors Quinn with the butt of his gun.
That was a very stupid thing to do. Now I'm gonna have to kill you. Say goodbye.
We've got gold.
Quinn lifts his head. Robin tilts her head persuasively. The captain stares fiercely at her. Quinn is dragged to his feet.
Gold.
Gold.
Yeah, we've got gold. I'm a jewelry designer. I design jewelry with gold. And precious stones.
Precious stones, like...
I have sold to all the finest stores. And we've got display cases on the boat. Because we're expanding the business in the Far East. But that's my husband's end of the business.
Because I'm in marketing.
Whiz! You're a whiz!
With guns to their heads, Quinn and Robin exchange uneasy looks. The captain fixes Quinn with a hard stare.
Take us to the boat.
Quinn and Robin walk down a sandy path through a glade of scrubby pine trees, the pirates close behind them. Quinn indicates the steep slope to the left of the path. Robin's eyes widen with fear. They brush past a low-hanging branch and dive to one side. The pirates fire at them as they roll downhill. Quinn helps Robin up onto her feet and they continue to flee. The pirates scramble after them. Robin and Quinn run down a bush-covered slope and head left, the pirates hot on their heels. Robin and Quinn have reached the top of a flat rocky peninsula. They run on, but are brought up sharply by a sheer drop. Down below, waves lash the cliff face.
Oh my God, now what?
We go on three. One, two.
I can't! You go! Save yourself!
Quinn shoots her a wry look, grabs her, and kisses her firmly.
I'm sorry.
You're kissing me?
No, for this.
As the captain appears, Quinn pushes Robin off the cliff, then throws himself. The captain lowers his gun in disbelief.
Go figure out! Get out!
The pirates dash over to the sheer precipice, machine guns at the ready, and stare down into the empty blue sea below.
Damn!
Frank and Angelica are sitting at the beachside bar.
You know how some people say you don't know what you had until you lose it? It's a lot of crap. I knew what I had.
The barman prizes Frank's empty glass out of his hand.
God, I loved her. Love her. Love her.
Grabbing his new drink.
Not to insult you, but I don't think men know what love is. I mean...
I do.
Yeah?
I do.
Well, guys, they tell me they love me all the time.
Well, I'm sure at least some of them mean it.
No, they don't.
Waves crash against the rocks as Quinn and Robin struggle for the shore. Soaked to the skin, they cling together, Quinn trying to support Robin's slight frame as they stumble through the shallows and onto the beach. Robin flops down onto the wet sand and rolls onto her back. Quinn, on his hands and knees, crawls through the gentle surf of an incoming wave, moves his body on top of Robin, and kisses her passionately on the mouth. He breaks the kiss and looks into her eyes. She draws him back down to her, and the kiss deepens. In the midst of the embrace, Robin trails her fingers down Quinn's cheek, and they both notice her engagement ring. They continue to hold each other, but the spell is broken. Quinn tears himself away and helps Robin up. Running up a steep wooded slope.
Do you think they gave up?
I don't know. We shouldn't go back to the camp. The plane's too easy to spot.
I am so scared.
Makes you feel any better? I'm a little scared myself.
No. No, that does not make me feel better.
I thought that's what women wanted.
What?
Men who weren't afraid to cry. They were in touch with their feminine side.
Well, not when they're being chased by pirates, they're like a mean and armed.
Quinn turns and affectionately strokes Robin's cheek before continuing. Robin follows him, holding onto his sleeve. In a dense, steamy jungle clearing, they stumble across a decaying fighter plane lodged in the branches of an enormous tree.
Whoa!
They stare up at the wreckage.
This is not a good island for airplanes.
It's a Japanese World War II float plane. It's been up there for 50 years.
A fine mist suffuses the air.
You don't think there's any way that you could...
Pointing at the plane.
This looks like a safe place to spend the night. I'm gonna see if there's anything I can use up there.
As clouds drift over the moon, Frank accompanies Angelica back to her bungalow. They acknowledge a guy in a sarong sitting nearby.
Hey.
This is me here.
Whew. We're gonna meet them at 6 a.m. They're gonna widen the search.
I may be too drunk to wake up at 6 a.m.
I know how...
Angelica, in her little skirt and top, disappears behind a curtain.
Are you sure you're okay? You're fine?
Yeah, I'm just going to take a shower and get into bed.
She pulls off her top, revealing a black lacy bra.
Are you okay?
I'm good. Yeah.
I mean, do you want to stay here tonight?
Stay?
Yeah, with me. I mean, you probably think I'm being slutty or something, but I'm feeling bad and you're feeling bad, and I'd really like for you to stay.
I just don't...
She removes her skirt.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah?
No, I can't. I mean, I'm still clinging to hope. And if we...
And her bra. If,
holy... No.
No.
She covers her chest.
No, I...
Are you sure?
She perches on the bed.
Yeah. No, I see him leaving the room.
He backs out with a bewildered look on his face. Quinn and Robin are sitting between the roots of a tall tree. A fire crackles nearby.
Breadfruit.
It's not bread.
It's not fruit.
With their legs stretched out in front of them, they chew fingerfuls of food in companionable silence. Quinn wrinkles his brow and shoots Robin a quick sideways glance.
I want to kiss you.
Robin turns to look at him. He meets her gaze with a half smile.
I really liked kissing you.
I liked kissing you.
Her eyes flicker over his attractive, weathered face.
But if I start, I'm not going to be able to stop.
Sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Her chest heaves gently and she shakes her head. Quinn turns away from her and nods slowly. He turns to her and they exchange a smile.
We should get some sleep.
Robin nods and lays down her breadfruit. Quinn watches her.
Come here.
Quinn stretches out his arm and Robin cuddles into his body, resting her head on his chest.
Oh, this feels good.
She glances up at him.
And safe. Feels good and safe.
Robin closes her eyes and snuggles into him. Quinn's gaze wanders up to the plane stranded in the branches above. The seaplane has two canoe-shaped floats instead of wheels. Quinn looks thoughtful. Next morning, Quinn is up the tree, soaring away at one of the floats. Robin is woken up as it crashes to the ground. The fallen float has kicked up a small cloud of dust. Robin staggers to her feet and wanders closer to the tree.
Good morning.
What are you doing?
Got a plan.
Good. Anything I can do to help?
Yeah.
Yeah, just a second.
General Manager Philip St. Clair waits outside Angelica's bungalow. She opens the door in a silky dressing gown.
What is it? What's wrong?
Angelica, the helicopter's going up in 20 minutes. If you're going, vite, huh?
Jeez, I didn't realize it was... Okay, thank you, Philip. Tell them I'm on my way, okay?
She wakes the man in her bed. It's Frank.
Metele, pibe, vamos. The helicopter's going up in 20 minutes.
Oh, God, what did I do? And how many times did I do it?
Are you okay?
Huh? No, this was wrong. This was all wrong.
Excuse me. How could you say that?
No, I mean, everything you did was very right. But what I did was wrong. This is wrong.
He screws up his face.
No. It's just we're going through a terrible ordeal. It's like when after a funeral,
Yeah? Everybody
has sex.
He stares at her, mystified.
Not everybody.
No?
No.
Robin and Quinn have lashed the two long, sawn-off floats together to make a raft. They perch on either side of it, using tall sticks to pole it along. Later, they walk through the shallow water, dragging it behind them. Robin wears her black bikini top and shorts. Robin's short, blonde, tousled hair glints in the sunshine. She shoots Quinn a happy, mischievous look.
What?
Smiling, Robin shakes her head and looks away.
Nothing.
You know that woman I was telling you about?
A heartbreaker?
She was my wife.
Oh.
12 years.
You have any kids?
No, we didn't have any kids, thank God. I always wanted kids. Bunches of them.
Really? There's still time.
Quinn grins and shakes his head.
Come on. How old are you?
Well, what... How old do you think I am?
Let me think.
Guess.
45?
He pulls a wry face and points up.
48?
He points up again.
50. 50?
He nods with a smile, leans over and whispers something in her ear.
You still look good.
I still am good.
Wading through the stream, they reach a short section of rocky rapids.
Let's get these apart. We gotta take them down one by one.
You first.
Quinn loops the end of a belt tied to the float round his neck and drags one forward.
Careful!
With a grim determination, he climbs slowly down over the rocks, dragging the float with him. The current is strong and the float skews over to one side, then rolls over and over, Quinn just managing to hold on. Quinn loses his grip on the float and is dragged along by the belt attachment he looped around his neck. He shoots over the small falls and plunges into the water below. Robin strains to see what's happening. Quinn rises spluttering from the water.
You all right?
I'm fine!
He bobs in the water.
Okay, your turn!
Angelica and Frank are at an open-air breakfast table. Angelica tucks in while Frank sits staring stiffly ahead.
Mm-mm. How can I eat? I'm scum. I'm garbage. This experience has tested me and has revealed no character whatsoever.
Stop beating yourself up. You're a guy. You can't help it.
Philip joins them at the table with a serious expression on his handsome face.
Mr. Martin, forgive me. I just heard they decided to call off the search. I'm sorry.
But that's it?
Philip nods solemnly. Frank's wide-eyed. Angelica swallows hard. Quinn and Robin haul on ropes tied to the two floats, dragging them along the beach towards their stranded plane. Then use the buoyancy of the shallow seawater to float them onwards. Near the plane, they chop down narrow-trunked trees and, using an axe and a long knife, remove the foliage, producing long poles. Robin squats by the toolbox. Quinn attaches a rope to a stout palm nearby, while Robin attaches ropes to the left wingtip, still lying tilted over in the sand. Quinn makes a rough cradle with two trunks and erects it over the plane. He throws a rope over the cradle, and Robin skids down the sloping left wing and attaches it to the end ropes. Quinn takes the other end of the rope, knots a loop in it, and attaches it to a pulley lashed to the stout palm on the other side of the plane. Robin pulls the left wing ropes tight.
Okay.
Quinn cranks in the pulley, the rope tightens across the cradle, and the wing starts to lift up. Robin gives the wing a helping hand as the plane comes upright. Quinn and Robin saw off long lengths of fat, hollow bamboo. Quinn watches Robin, intent on her task. Finished, she glances triumphantly at Quinn, who shoots her an admiring smile. Robin carries armfuls of bamboo down to the beach where Quinn is digging a trench under the plane. Robin tries to brush some sand off her back and picks up a container of water. Quinn stops digging, gently brushes down her back and shoulder, then takes a long swig of water, drips splashing onto his bare, tanned chest. Quinn has dug a long trench under the missing wheel. Quinn and Robin use the buoyancy of the incoming waves to push the float into the trench.
Keep coming!
Quinn pulls from the front, Robin shoves from behind.
Push!
They drag the float into position under the plane's left wheel shaft. Quinn sits on top of it, panting for breath. Robin stands behind him, patting his back. Working in the hot sun, Robin and Quinn lash bamboo poles together and try to fashion the apparatus needed to attach the floats to the plane. Robin watches Quinn hammering things in place.
Ready?
Aye!
Put her down!
Robin loosens the pulley and the left side of the plane lowers onto the float. With both floats now in position, Robin and Quinn use the bamboo poles to lash the floats together and onto the wheel frame. Robin and Quinn work on the finishing touches. With everything in place, the little plane, with Harris Freight written on its tail fin, is ready to test. Quinn climbs up and unfastens the plane from the support cradle. Quinn and Robin both look up. A shell explodes behind them. The pirate ship rounds the rocks and sails into the cove. On board, one of the men loads another shell. The captain peers through binoculars at the little red plane. Robin and Quinn hurriedly dismantle the cradle. Another shell is fired, landing close to the plane. Robin gets in the plane. On the ship, the gun's reloaded.
Too far back to the right.
The ship sails closer. The shell explodes, knocking Quinn off his feet. Robin jumps out of the plane.
Oh God, are you okay?
Blood seeps through his shirt on the left side of his chest.
Okay.
She helps him up.
It's okay.
They stumble on board ship.
Come on, come on.
Quinn heaves himself up.
I'm in. Get in the plane, hurry.
Robin runs round. With his uninjured arm, Quinn pumps a small lever next to the door. On board ship, the gun is reloaded.
Hurry!
The propeller of the plane starts to turn. In the plane, Quinn grits his teeth and struggles with the controls. The floats start to lift. The plane moves forward into the water, missing the shell. The plane surges across the water on the floats, straight towards the ship. The captain assumes control of the gun. The shell just misses the plane. The captain struggles with the gun. Robin grabs hold of the co-pilot's wheel and pulls it towards her. The captain has them in his gun sights. The plane takes off. As it soars overhead, the captain fires up at it. The captain looks up as his comrades leap from the ship. The shell falls back down, exploding the ship. The little red plane swoops away through the sky. Quinn's bleeding heavily.
Stay with me here. Stay with me. You're doing great. Come on.
Look, I should tell you a few things about airplanes.
Why's that?
Because I may not be conscious when it comes time to land this thing. Take the controls. I want you to get a feel for the yoke.
You're serious, aren't you?
Quinn's expression is grave. Robin takes the wheel.
Small corrections.
Sorry.
Small corrections. Just look at the horizon. When we get there, you're gonna line up about 100 feet out from the beach.
People have gathered on the beach near the hotel for a remembrance service. Frank and Angelica lay a string of flowers in the water. Philip addresses the throng.
We are here today to honor two fine people, Miss Robin Munro and an old
Frank
friend.
Sinks to his knees.
Father, please forgive me, for I have sinned. I've been bad, very bad.
The plane flies into view of Makatea. Quinn is slumped unconscious, his head lolling towards the window. Robin tensely grips the wheel.
Quinn, don't make me do this alone. Please, Quinn, don't make me do this alone. Shit.
The plane zooms towards some foreboding cliffs. Back on the beach, Angelica attends to Frank.
I would say a few words about our friend, Greenhouse.
Angelica looks up and steps forward as the red plane swoops in towards the beach. Frank lifts up his head. In the plane, Robin steals herself at the controls.
All right. Wind up with the beach. Throttle to 65 knots. The knot.
It's Quinny! Look!
Frank rises to his feet.
Thank you, God!
The airspeed indicator's falling.
Flat.
She pumps a lever.
No slightly elevated for landing.
Onlookers back away as the plane smacks down onto the water. The impact breaks off the left float and the plane bumps through the water. Quinn and Robin are bashed about in the cabin, but the plane comes to a halt, tilted but floating on the water. Frank springs into action.
I'm coming, sweetie!
The plane is yards from the beach. Frank runs into the water. Inside the plane, Robin comes round with her head resting against Quinn's chest.
Quinn! Quinn!
He opens his eyes blearily and turns to her.
We did it.
She beams at him. He looks at her with a careworn, tender smile.
I'm coming! Robin! Sweetie, help!
Frank climbs up.
Robin! Oh, oh my God, you're alive! Oh, you're hurt!
No, I'm fine. He needs a doctor. Get him a doctor.
A doctor! We need a doctor!
Quinn and Robin stare longingly at each other as Frank pulls Robin out.
Come on, sweetie.
Can you move your leg?
One last look as they're separated. Angelica and Philip help Quinn out. Frank carries Robin onto the crowded beach.
We brought the tea.
Great.
You want some honey, sweetie?
Sure.
The guy said the hotel's offered us a month's free stay anytime we want.
Oh, probably afraid I'm going to sue them.
She emerges in dressing gown and towel.
How are you feeling? Are you all right?
Oh, yeah. I'm just, you know, tired.
Here we go. Wow. Sorry.
Are you okay?
He stares blankly at her.
Yeah, I didn't get much sleep.
Frank, come here, come here. Stand.
He sits down and gazes sheepishly at her.
It was terrible. I mean, I think deep down, I never expected to see you again. You know, I was lost. We're just people, you know? You know, Robin, we're not perfect. I mean, under that kind of pressure, I mean, people do things, you know. I mean, you don't know right, wrong. You're crazy, you're nuts. You know,
Robin shoots him a sympathetic look. Quinn sits on a hospital bed with his left arm and shoulder strapped up, flicking playing cards into an empty bedpan. Robin comes in wearing jeans and a light sleeveless blouse. Quinn sees her and freezes, a lopsided grin creeping over his face.
Hi.
She glances at the cards.
Keep him busy.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Good, thanks. This is not so bad. How about you?
It's fine.
Good.
They stare into each other's eyes.
What's the deal here?
Deal?
With us?
Quinn shrugs.
What do you mean?
You know what I mean.
Quinn looks down. Robin sits on the bed and fixes him with her intense blue gaze.
Was what happened on that island anything? Or was it just something that happens to two people when they're alone on an island together?
Quinn meets her gaze.
It was something.
Something.
Yeah.
So, now what?
Look, I'm pretty set in my ways, and you got all kinds of possibilities. You deserve someone fresher.
Robin shakes her head.
Don't you think that's up to me to decide?
Let's be smart about this. You're not going to move out here and become my co-pilot. And I'm not going to go to New York and be your receptionist, so...
Robin swallows and looks down.
Where does that leave us?
I don't know. I guess it leaves us nowhere.
So let's not complicate things.
Oh, I forgot you like things simple.
Right.
Robin stares soulfully at him. Then, with an air of finality, she compresses her lips and gets up from the bed.
Well, good luck.
She nods at him, and he half smiles.
Good luck to you, too.
I hope everything works out for you.
Robin walks swiftly away, passing an incoming doctor. Quinn shakes his head.
So how's that shoulder today? Need something for the pain?
Yeah. As the doctor tries to take his blood pressure, Quinn peers round at the door. It closes, and Quinn sits back in the bed with a pained, resigned expression. Frank and Robin sit quietly in the departure lounge, staring straight ahead. Robin is wearing a short black sundress and strappy sandals.
Well, 14 more hours, then back to reality.
I don't think we should get married.
What? How come?
Because I think it's wrong for two people to get married when something is hanging over their heads.
Frank grabs her hand.
Oh my God, I'm sorry, Robin. I'm sorry. I was distraught, and then she took off her blouse, and it was like, oh, my God, but I walked away. I did. I went back to our room. I tried to go to sleep, but I thought of you. I thought, oh, I didn't know if you were dead or what. So I went back to her bungalow, you know, just to, and she, Robin, she answered the door with on.
Who?
Angelica.
You slept with Angelica?
Who slept? Are you kidding? Didn't you know?
How would I know?
Wait a minute, you just said there was something hanging over our... What do you mean?
Robin breathes out.
Quinn and me.
Aha!
Oh, Frank, something happened. Something happened that shouldn't have happened if you and I were really...
in love.
Robin stares evenly at him, then pulls off her engagement ring and places it in his hand. Frank stares down at the ring, then back up at Robin. She tilts her head, knowingly.
Embarquement immédiat du vol numéro 38, destination Honolulu. Tout passager ayant un billet doit...
Frank and Robin gather up their bags and make their way slowly over to the airline rep.
Flight number 38 to Honolulu. All ticketed passengers should board immediately.
Frank hands over his boarding pass.
Monsieur, bon voyage.
Next in line, Robin hesitates.
Madame.
Reluctantly, Robin hands it over.
Bon voyage.
Robin lingers in the door for a moment, then makes her way out onto the runway. With his arm still strapped in a sling, Frank leaps out of a helicopter at the airport, checks his watch, and breaks into a run. Quinn dashes under an air bridge, past baggage carriers, and breaks through a line of people waiting to board a plane. A large aircraft is taxiing down the runway. Quinn runs towards it and grabs one of the airport ground staff.
Hey! Where's the plane? Plane to New York.
Right there.
He points at the taxiing plane with Aloha written on the side of it. Quinn stands, staring helplessly as the plane takes off. Quinn turns distractedly from side to side, then starts to walk back across the runway. Suddenly, he sees Robin descending from an air bridge with two officials. Robin's bags are on the runway with some reps from the airline. Quinn approaches the group with the beginnings of a hopeful smile.
Please search my bags. It's just important that I stay here.
Robin senses his presence and turns around slowly. Quinn strides towards her.
You're...
Bonjour, Quinn. Tu la connais?
Jean-Claude, my man, s'il vous plaît. Mon ami, merci.
He moves her gently away from the group.
Why did you get off the plane?
Why did you come here?
I decided my life is too simple.
It is?
Yeah, I want to complicate the hell out of it.
Robin melts into his arms and their lips meet in a passionate embrace. The group on the runway have dispersed, leaving the couple alone, Robin's arms twined around Quinn's neck.
So, where are we going?
Your place is in New York, right?
Uh-huh.
I don't think I can wait that long. How about my place?
Oh, yeah, you got a little house on the beach.
More like a shack, actually.
A shack?
It's not much.
Uh-huh. You do have a bed, don't you?
Are you going to be this fussy about everything?
Quinn grabs her suitcase. ITFC audio description by Lonnie Evans.